This episode brought to you by Audible.
AudibleTrial.com/ear triangle. What? How many shapes can we put into this ad?
I know a lot of different shapes. So,
oh, I
listeners,
know all the shapes.
I do. Stay
I was
tuned.
Really good at geometry.
Geometry?
Yeah.
I've only ever heard that word.
I've only read that word.
How long is
you
it
you realize
be?
That when you say I've only ever heard that word, then you should be able to recite it correctly. It's only when you only
I've
read
only
the
ever
word.
Seen that word
there
written.
You go.
Is that it?
There yeah. you go.
Todd,
guys,
how do sentences
if you
want
to see other words written, spoken out for you, go to audibletrial.com/horrorvirgin.
It's all going off the rails. How do words work, Todd?
For 30 days free and a book to get you started. And for a book recommendation, I'm going to put Jen on the spot.
All right. Here, what no, book? I thought about this because if you like this episode, if you like The Descent and you want to really challenge yourself and read some gross shit, check out Off Season by Jack Ketchum. It is about some cannibals. It's a subgenre called outlaw horror, which kind of means it's a little more extreme than regular horror. It's too much for me. I read Off Season. It ruined me for life. It's gross. But check it out if you like
The
Descent.
That's what ruined you for life.
Not the patriarchy. You might like Off Season.
So yeah, guys, audibletrial.com/horrorvirgin. Check it out, guys. Hey, guys, we also started a Patreon this week. And
yes!
We, honestly,
excited.
Yeah, I was very, very blown away by the response from the community
yes.
on this one.
Like, thank you so much.
I thought we might get a handful of dollars from a handful of nice people. We got a shitload of dollars
yes.
from a handful of amazing, amazing HVs.
Yeah.
I don't really want to call
fam.
People. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to call
still
people.
Still working
virgins.
On that nickname.
Yeah, we got to work on something to call the community. If you have suggestions,
yes,
tweet
please.
At us. At
we're swinging
virgin,
and missing.
What we should call the community because yes. calling you guys virgins doesn't feel right.
And you're I'm so awesome that yeah. we really want to. Thank you for all of the support.
Yeah, so I mean, we had quite a few people come in at the $15 level. One person come in at the $25 level, and one at the $50 level,
yes,
which really blew us away.
Thank
a guy
so much.
Under the handle of Cake of Doom.
Cake of Doom. I'm interested in this handle too.
Yeah, me too. But I honestly thought we would have more at the $5 level
I
than we
too.
Would at any other level.
I know.
But
and I can't
really,
believe
we didn't have anyone at the $5 level. Everyone was $15 or more. It was insane.
I know.
You guys
thank
are
you so
amazing.
Much.
And if you guys want to check that out. Just go to the Patreon. It's at patreon.com/horrorvirgin. It's the same as all of our handles. There isn't a link on our website yet, but I will work on getting that up sometime in the next week. Thank you guys
yes,
so much
you.
For all of you who have and will sign up on the Patreon. I love that the podcast is free, but it does cost money to like
uh-huh.
distribute it.
And time and effort.
And
yeah.
yeah, honestly, we're not making money on time and effort, but
right.
it does cost us money to like host the podcast and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So it's
pod
nice to be able to pay
are
some
not
of that.
Free.
Yeah. And I do about 5 hours of work after we record. You do about 5 hours of work before we record.
Yeah.
And not including the time to watch the movies and record. So
right.
we're not even getting paid for that amount of time. And I honestly would do it without that.
Oh, yeah.
I love,
it is really fun.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love the community
he hates
and the
movies,
response for it. I really do hate watching the movies. That is true.
Yeah. And, you know, I know I understand this might not be in everyone's budget right now. And we completely understand.
Yeah,
we are
absolutely.
Just so happy for all of the support we've gotten.
And honestly, if
general.
You can't afford to pay every month, just tell your friends and family about it. That's
right.
As big or as a monetary donation.
Downloads.
We really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So listening to it is more than enough. But
we love when you interact with us, too.
Yeah, we do.
Send us your scary skills.
How you doing? All right, enjoy The Descent.
Is Michael Winslow from Family Matters? Which one's Michael Winslow? Is it
really
Michael Winslow's from Police Academy. He's the guy who does all the voices.
Oh, I love that
Spaceballs.
Guy.
He was also in Spaceballs.
How long have we been doing this now?
20 minutes.
I already brought us in.
And we've had 5 or 6 laugh lines.
Well,
and
bring
she's
us
been
in,
looking
dude.
Up Carl
dude.
Winslow.
Mr. Virgin, bring us in.
Welcome to the Horror Virgin, everybody. Apparently, Carl Winslow, not
Michael Winslow. Who was in Police Academy. And I think... makes a cameo as an eagle in this movie, but we'll get to it.
I've
saying.
Tried to imitate all of the sounds that he does, and I'm not very good at making
Guys,
sound
it was
imitations.
Spot on. Hilarious.
What? Why are you looking at me like
I want you to, I'm waiting for you to introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Jen.
Ugh.
Hey, sorry. Oh, man.
I'm the Virgin Todd. And we have special guests, Chris, with us. You remember Chris?
Chris of the Noise.
Chris of the Noise. Chris from Trick or Treat, who tried to make me throw up the whole time.
That's how Jennifer. I introduced myself.
We got to find a new shtick for you, bro. So what did we watch, Jen?
We watched one of my favorite movies ever, The Descent.
It's so good.
Yes, and we watched this. I loved it.
I'm going to disagree with everything you said.
Well,
except for you, it can be one of your favorite movies, but I hated it. Chris suggested this, right? This is your suggestion, Chris?
I suggested it, yes, and then you had said, oh, I think Jen likes that movie.
I've been suggesting watching The Descent since the very beginning, but I didn't know when you were going to be ready for it.
Yeah, I don't think I was ready for it.
Yeah, and this was back when we thought we were going to try to ease you into the scary stuff, but then we just decided
apparently,
to say, fuck it.
You guys have thrown that out the window.
Yeah.
With, I mean,
then October happened.
Well, no, I mean, honestly, Hereditary was the scariest movie I've ever seen. It was like the third movie we did.
Yeah, that's true.
Ugh.
Yeah, but we weren't quite sure what Hereditary was going to be like.
That's true. That's true.
And I just really wanted to watch it.
It's a write-off.
exactly.
But The Descent, not just a great horror movie, but a really good just...
It is a really good movie. Yes, it would be. It is my number two favorite horror movie of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your number one?
I think that should remain a mystery, don't you think?
No.
Should I tell
What's your number one?
Cabin in the Woods.
Oh.
It's so good.
I think you've said that before actually,
I have.
On the podcast.
I'm kind of ashamed of my number one.
What is it?
West
Side Story?
Hey, don't be ashamed of any.
So
listen.
Good. Sondheim on lyrics, so good.
Listeners, never be ashamed of your favorite movie.
They.
I haven't seen that.
You know what my favorite horror movie is?
What? Oh, Leslie Vernon?
Yeah. Love you, Nathan.
Everybody drink?
All right, so this movie was about
awesome.
Adventure Ladies. Is that
Adventure
what I said?
Adventure Ladies, yeah.
Adventure Ladies?
You
led
did call
Indiana
it that.
Indiana Jones.
Indiana
led
Juno.
By Indiana Jane.
Except her name's Juno, so we can make that
part. Indiana Juno. We can
Indiana
go with that.
Juno. I'm just going to call her Juno because she is awesome.
Is she?
Yes.
She's a horrible person.
Yeah.
I mean, she's
a higgity-higgity homewrecker.
She does get,
basically.
Can we just go to this fucking movie?
Adventure Awesome Ladies.
The first thing we see is, like, of course, credits, but during the credits we see, like, them
whitewater
rafting, right? And
yes.
Then we see the husband and the daughter of
Sarah's Sarah. Husband and daughter are watching on the rocks,
right?
Yes.
And then they get
the husband is obviously not watching.
Yeah,
Sarah.
We find out their marriage is on the rocks also.
So the ladies are whitewater rafting and then they finish, they pull out, which
oh jeez.
I'm not
that
even
didn't
gonna
take
make the
long,
joke.
But it never
yeah,
does.
Yeah,
yeah.
Thank
yeah, yeah.
You.
Whatever. And then we find out that the husband's been pulling out all over Juno.
Gross.
And this is what blows my mind.
She
so, like,
did get out soaking wet.
Oh yeah, she did.
Because they pushed her out of the boat. Because somehow deep down they knew.
Oh yeah, they knew. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so she gets out, and I guess the husband kisses her or something.
I don't remember.
They're like sharing
like,
embrace.
Off, he like takes off Juno's helmet in a really. Like
in a tender, caressing way.
Yeah, yeah.
In a loving way.
They embrace on some level.
They do.
And they cut to the other girl who's like, what?
Beth, right?
Yeah, they cut
yeah,
to Beth.
Same. What?
Beth is obviously like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Sarah, who is the wife of cheater
she's
husband.
The one like roping the boat up and doing all the work.
Yeah, Juno knew she gave her the chore that she could get on the husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they get in the car.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then this is funny because Sarah was turned around talking to her daughter who's,
they're
I guess name
talking
doesn't
about
matter.
Jessica. They're talking about
whatever.
Her birthday party.
Okay. So she's turning around talking to Jessica, whose name really doesn't matter because she's about to be dead in like 3 seconds.
And she's get that shish kebab.
Yeah. And Sarah turns back around to face forward and then starts talking to her husband. You've been distant. Have you been fucking my friend? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
And then he slams into a truck to try to get out of answering the question.
Like, this guy
and it
kills
backfires.
Himself to not have to explain to his wife that he finds her
friend.
Very attractive.
Her brunette and friend.
I get it. Juno could get it, man.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Sarah wasn't bad looking either. But
yeah.
Juno could get it.
Well, they're both badasses, but Juno is pretty awesome.
Yeah, Juno could get it.
And listeners, we should say he doesn't actually kill himself. It's a terrible, tragic accident that kills her husband and her daughter.
With the same pipe.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible. And I think the scene has... Oh, my goodness.
It
guys,
only took one
gonna...
pipe to make her. It took one pipe to take them both out.
Oh, God.
That was the joke you were brewing up when you guys were looking at each other with, like, pipe
eyes.
No, honestly.
You
were like, oh, I got something.
Just
I got something.
The word pipe in my head made me laugh, and then I had to come up with a joke.
Because you're 12.
Exactly.
No,
I'm
no,
very
no. This
sophomoric.
Is how Todd and I operate, though. Like,
yeah.
If we're in situations where we know we can't talk, we just do that. We just look at each other and just...
Oh, I remember Trick or Treat.
Oh, yeah.
I was there.
So after the tragic accident...
Yeah, and I think that this scene has given me, like, some kind of thing about watching people in cars, because every time anybody's driving, they say, I'm like, watch the road. And I think it's because of this.
This and Final Destination?
I made a Final Destination joke.
I love Final
this,
Destination.
But I've
Final
never seen it.
It's a little more elaborate, though. Oh, no, you're talking about the... news anchor with a junk to the head.
With
I think
some
that's
junk to the head.
I think that's fine. No, it's junk, not junk. Junk. I think that's Final Destination 2. Spoiler: doesn't turn out well for news anchor lady.
Or junk.
Yeah.
She apparently has a metal plate in her head, Chris. I don't know how to explain the sound of it.
No, a pipe goes through her head. It goes junk and through the window.
What about the wall?
The wall. I told you I was basically Michael Winslow. Junk.
Guys, joining us in studio, Michael Winslow.
That's my noise of something.
You know what I like about Michael Winslow? He's not afraid to get out there and experiment.
He does a really good impression of mad cow disease.
Oh my God. So the accident happens, and then we see Sarah wake up in the hospital, right?
Yes.
And who all's around her? Because there's someone around her, right?
No one's around her.
Oh,
no one's around her. And she wakes up and she's in the hallway.
No, she wakes up in the hospital bed, mm-hmm. pulls off the
all
sensors,
the stuff,
gets in the hallway, mm-hmm. and then
28
and
days later runs down the
runs down the yeah. light, the darkness is chasing her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she escapes in the arms of her friend Beth.
I think this is the first time I said, "Will you guys just kiss already?"
Yeah. It's funny every time he said it.
14 times.
Yeah.
They never did.
No, they didn't.
So anyway,
it's not that kind of a movie.
So wait, she was hallucinating running in the hallway, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But she was like really running down the hallway.
She
wasn't hallucinating that, but she was hallucinating the lights or whatever. And then she runs into Beth, and that's where we smash back into reality.
Yeah. And we
so
see,
she was actually running down the hallway, but the darkness was only chasing her in her mind.
Yeah, because then as soon as she hugs Beth, we see everybody else that's walking around.
Right, and everyone's like, what the fuck
just
is
going
happening?
About their business.
Right, because that's what you do in a hospital.
You conceal, don't feel.
Let it go.
Let it go. Yeah.
So anyway, it jumps to a year later, right?
Yeah, and they're driving in the Appalachians.
Do they actually say where they're driving? Like, I know it says Appalachian Mountains or whatever, but do they actually ever...
I don't remember if they ever actually do. I have in my mind that it's in West Virginia, but
I don't
remember.
Think it is. I think it's in North Carolina because of the license plate. Yeah. But I don't know.
It says Dice. Is it a real place? Chattanooga State Park?
Yeah, it's like Chattanooga State Park.
Chattanooga?
I don't know if it's a real place. I've never heard of it.
It is.
But we don't
live
in North Carolina.
I got a fun fact about that. We see them pass by Chattanooga Park, and that's not a real place, but the Chattanooga River is.
Ah, okay.
And that is the river that Deliverance was filmed on.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And Deliverance was a big inspiration for this movie. Yes. Yes.
What state did it take place in? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
North Carolina. It was filmed in Scotland. So
yeah, it doesn't really matter,
America.
I guess. Fair enough. Do they all stay at the same cabin?
They do.
Yeah.
Because they all get there, right? And this is where we meet like three other blonde women and spiky haired woman.
Yeah, spiky and big sister and little sister.
Right, big sis, little sis.
I think it's,
okay, I think I'm confused.
Juno's already there.
There's Sarah.
Sarah, who's the tall, the tallest of the blondes.
The main antagonist?
Yes.
Then there's Beth, Juno. Juno's protege, Spike.
Yeah.
Right.
Sarah's
and
the
then
protagonist.
Big sister, little sister.
Yes. Although, I prefer to look at them all just as humans, you know?
Yeah, I don't really think there is a protagonist or antagonist.
And that's why I love this movie.
Yeah.
Because I think they're all, like, complex, well-drawn characters.
Right,
because
I guess that they were initially going to put like a mixed person,
yeah, it was going to be a mixed gender cast.
So I guess to break norms for a movie like this, they decided to go with an all-women cast.
Yep.
I mean, I liked it.
Yeah.
I
did
fan.
Too. That's
yeah.
one of the reasons I love this movie. Is really there's, I mean, I guess the crawlers, some of the crawlers are men, but like the only man
is that what
the
they're called in the
movie?
Crawlers?
I don't think they ever call them that in the movie, but that's
hey,
what they're
creatures.
Known as.
Yeah, they're like cavemen.
Yeah, but I mean, they call them crawlers. Like they get to the cabin, they're all reuniting.
Right, and a
it
lot
feels
of them,
so good.
A lot of them. Nice. A lot of them are like talking about how Sarah, this is like her first time back out. So like Sarah goes to the cabin and she was driving in with like, I think
Beth
and someone else.
Beth and Sarah. No, Sarah and Beth are together.
Right. But there were three people in the car.
Yeah. And we get the sense that Beth is really, no, there's two people in the car.
There were three people in the car because one of them gets out. Sarah walks inside and Beth says to somebody, I think she's doing better. Like, listen, she's here.
She says that to Juno, who's already waiting for them outside.
Okay. So maybe there was, that's
fine. There were two people in the car, and we get the impression that Beth is really the one who's been helping Sarah get through this hard time, and
that
none of
sense.
The other friends have really been around, especially Juno.
I don't know exactly what we find out, but Juno does say at some point,
I'm sorry I wasn't in Scotland.
Right,
that's,
that, we don't find that until a little bit later, but I guess I could sort of guess that she wasn't going to be around because she was grieving her husband
exactly.
too. Yeah,
yeah.
Because she's a homewrecker.
Homewrecker.
Yeah, she's the worst. She's also the hottest, though. Like, I get it. She's super hot. So anyway, so they go inside and it becomes like, let's get high, let's get drunk, let's make fun of each other for wearing stupid jammies. Like,
yeah.
I don't know
what sounds great before spelunking.
Spelunking
is a hangover.
Oh yeah,
for real.
Oh yeah. But like this scene seemed like a bunch of men wrote dialogue.
It did say in the Wikipedia thing, like the article for the movie, that we interviewed women.
He talked to his friends, his female friends about it. Yeah, it kind of just seemed like what you think women are going to talk about. I didn't really find that like an annoying scene.
Know.
Like I thought it was okay.
No, because Sarah does open up a little bit about
I mean, they're talking about her getting her degree.
No, she says love each day, right?
That's the first time she
I used to say that, and you see Juno go...
Because they look at we just get to know a little bit more about the character. So
I hope
we know.
No one looks at my eagle feather that Paul gave.
Oh.
We're about to hear the Michael Winslow eagle too. Yeah,
that eagle's been dead for 10 years,
just like his career. They just go to bed, right?
So they wake up.
Yeah,
after...
they wake up.
No.
Oh yeah, no. This
Sarah
is part that
wakes
got
up.
Todd.
Sarah quote unquote wakes up
in the middle of the night. She hears Michael Winslow outside.
Yeah, Michael Winslow is outside, like eagling it up.
And actually, I think what she is hearing is a child's laughter.
Well, no, that's what wakes her up.
Or
and then she hears the eagle. Which I think is Paul from beyond the graves calling to Juno, really. But we can get into that. Anyway, she walks to the window.
Good American.
Oh, my God.
He's from the UK.
Yeah.
Didn't make the trek over because, remember, he died a year ago. So Sarah goes to the window, and then she gets a pipe to the face.
And Todd said, no!
I don't know if I said no, but I did go, ooh, like I made a long pitched noise. It was gross.
It was really funny.
And then she wakes up again.
Yeah, she wakes
up. So that whole thing was
honestly a reoccurring theme for her throughout this entire
movie. It is, yeah.
She gets a pipe to the forehead just like
her
daughter.
So she wakes up, but then we cut to like Juno running outside.
Yeah, Juno's jogging because Juno doesn't get hangovers.
This is a good scene, guys. I'm just saying, for reasons.
You know what, though? You hate that friend when you like drink hardcore and then you wake up the next morning.
Yeah, and she's like, I've done an Iron Man.
Todd's that guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Todd's that guy.
I do think they made her that person like going out for the run in the morning because you're supposed to hate her a little bit.
You are, yeah. I think you are
supposed
to hate her.
Because she's the hot friend who stays hot no matter what she
and
eats.
And sleeps with your husband.
She's super active. She's definitely down to clown with the husband. All of that shit. Yeah, you hate that friend.
I mean,
I'm not going to say her husband's not at
and if
fault,
you don't,
too.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Juno is waking everybody up. She smacks
Spike.
Yeah,
she is being annoying.
And then she lifts her leg just to show Sarah how flexible she was with her husband. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that was a little bit of a power move on her part. Juno was like, oh, can you do this?
Yeah, and then, she tells Spike to try to do it because Spike is her like adventure protege or
something.
And
then Spike does
and
Spike
and falls
over. That was sort of funny.
This is kind of a Juno is annoying waking everybody up montage.
Does Spike slightly resemble the Corey from The Goonies?
Oh, Corey Feldman? Yeah. I can see it. She is kind of annoying.
So this is when they're in the two cars racing to the hole in the ground.
Yeah, they let the girl who's super depressed and on a bunch of drugs drive them through the woods.
Oh, yeah,
but
she did drop some Xannies before
they
got
in the
car.
We did see Sarah pop some pills for sure.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean,
Xannies gonna break you.
After
no
what happened.
No mumble rap on the podcast, Chris. How many times do I have to talk about this?
Lambo.
So this is where we find out, though, that they're going to an easy spelunking cave.
It's
like
a tourist trap.
It's a tourist trap.
Borum
I think
they
were saying
caverns.
It's like a level
that
2 or something
really
like that.
They're really hoping that Juno brought the book for.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what you do when you spelunk.
That is.
You
Why
bring
do you keep saying spelunk? You know it's called
spelunking?
Spelunk.
Spelunk.
Spelunking. Woohoo!
My family is from the Appalachians.
Are they? Appalachians. If they were really from the Appalachians, you would say Appalachian.
Actually, it's more like Appalachian.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get my down in that cave, man. I'm going to go by my speed walking.
All right. So.
All right.
There are corrals everywhere. All right. So whatever.
I'm trying to make the noise and I can't do it.
No,
you didn't
can't.
Even recognize it as the noise.
You ain't no Winslow?
I just haven't found my inner Winslow yet.
There you go.
It's there.
So they get to the, I guess, trailhead.
The hole.
Right?
I said they found the hole. That's what I wrote down.
Well, there are like 6 of them.
12.
Fair enough. Well,
18.
18, yeah.
What holes are you counting?
All 3.
Oh, gross.
I wish we could keep that joke. 6, 12, 18. That was good. Fuck. Yeah. I'm definitely going to, I'll leave that and I'll get an edit from Jen. I think counting sphincters is not a great move for us. All right.
You save it for the live show.
So they get to the trailhead, right?
Yeah.
And then they start hiking out.
And they come across the first.
They find moose. Yeah.
Wait, what? What moose are you talking about?
The moose
they come
in the woods.
The moose in the woods. And they're like, Something did this.
Yeah. What was it?
I have no memory of
You're
that.
The weird one, Todd. We're talking about real things. You keep shaking your head like I'm talking about nonsense.
It's because Todd periodically tries to hide his face from the screen.
That's true.
Right. So or tries to hide his fear by checking his phone.
I do that a lot.
Yeah.
I just did that.
You did. Yeah. Dump off the pressure, man.
I do. Like, I need to hit the release valve.
Yeah. That's what
and
I
that's
do.
Not sexual the way it sounded. Like, I really meant, like, I need, like, a break, so I'll, like, look at my phone or whatever. I'll second screen this so hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that
yeah.
also sounded sexual, but it was not meant to be. Like, I realized
I think
that,
when you add so hard to it, that's probably what did it. It's what pushed
yeah,
it over.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so they find the moose in the woods.
What moose?
Oh, my God. A moose that really exists.
So, but this is what we're expected to do later in the movie, think that the crawlers killed that, I guess?
Yeah, I think that's what we're supposed to believe. Yeah.
Okay.
Because what else would kill a moose? Bear?
A hunter
squirrel,
or a bear or many
a skunk?
Bears.
You
no,
hear that,
it's
Ron?
Not fucking Halloween. So, like,
it's the rise of the skunk murders.
It's because their periods attract bears.
Oh. You put the whole camp in jeopardy.
They follow the river to the actual cave opening.
Yeah. Which is just a hole in the ground.
It is. But I'd imagine that a lot of them start that way. I honestly don't know,
because
though.
That's what a cave is, Todd.
Well, no.
It could be
ground.
A hole in the mountain side.
Yeah, but that's what I think. Yeah.
A mine.
Shut up, Gandalf.
It's Gimli.
Oh, it is Gimli. I thought Gandalf said that, but you're right. It is Gimli.
How dare you?
Whatever, man.
So they find the opening to the cave.
They find the hole.
They do find the hole in the ground. And they
spelunk and they go down.
Into it. Rappel into it.
Spelunk.
Woo! Into it.
And as far as I can tell, I think this is the only actual part of the movie that was filmed in a cave, right?
I think so. I think the rest of it was all filmed on sound
stages.
I mean, that makes sense. And I only say that because it does look really good when they're in the cave, quote unquote. But just to have the camera angles, they would need more room a cave would let them have.
Yeah, they didn't
think that makes sense, but it still looks good.
Right. And that way you can design the actual curves you want the cave
to
have. They thought it would be more practical and safer.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Caves are terrible, and no one wants to go down in a fucking cave.
Have you gone spelunking?
I mean, I've done Mammoth Cave.
Yeah, but...
But you walked through Mammoth Cave, right?
I've
like
done
the
Mammoth,
tour
Cave.
Mammoth Cave.
Yeah, there are like guardrails.
Up in like East Tennessee, though, where
you
can do
Floyd
like,
Collins Mammoth Cave, though, is all I'm saying.
I'm still here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know who Floyd Collins is.
He's the guy who got trapped in... It was Mammoth Cave, though, right?
I don't know. Is that story even true?
Yes, it is true.
The song is great.
Yeah, there's a...
Blackstone Cherry.
Yeah, there's a Blackstone Cherry song called The Ghost of Floyd Collins. It is a true story, because I've heard another podcast, The Dollop, do with a story. It's insane,
cool.
Yeah. So they rappel down into...
Into the deep, dark hole.
Right. Oh, and this is where Sarah is, like, looking around the entryway,
she,
right?
Yeah,
and
she
sees a
claws.
Bloody hand.
Mm-hmm.
Wait,
no,
what
no,
was it?
Not a bloody hand. She sees, like, a hand, like, fingerprints. Bloody fingerprints.
Yeah, yeah.
On the cave
yeah,
wall.
Like, claw
that's, I said
prints.
Hand. I meant handprint. You're right.
There's the bloody hand.
Yeah, that's a very big difference. If they see a bloody hand, they're rappelling out. Yeah. But they sort of just ignore
it. You
know
it. What, though? Sarah is the only one for the first like 30 minutes when they're in the cave.
Yeah, she's the one
she's
seeing
the
shit.
She's the one that only notices, and everyone thinks that she's crazy.
She is, yeah.
Or seeing shit.
Yeah.
Or hearing shit.
So yeah, so Sarah hears something, and then she finds the little claw thing. Oh, yeah, and
that's
she
right.
gets got by the bats, yeah. And they've kind of talked about, do we think Sarah can handle this? Is she okay, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, I think, a fair
she's
question.
Fragile.
Yeah, and it's her first time back out adventuring.
And because the last time when her family died, it was when they were adventuring, so I'm sure this is probably a trigger for her.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or at least the drive home would be.
And nobody fucking wants to go into a cave.
So they do find the entryway into the cave from that little entryway area, and
they
kind of squeeze their way in.
Yeah, and that's when Big Sister starts to say, this doesn't look like the book. This is not
right.
what I was expecting. Yeah. And then Spike starts to go first, and she kind of spikes through the caves and everything.
She takes point.
Yeah,
does,
she takes
does
point.
Does she seem like she's like 5 to 10 years younger than everybody
she
else?
She does,
yeah.
And I think partly because I say she's the protege, also because she's immature.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone else sort of, I think, has maybe just more experience adventuring.
Yeah.
Because she's just like darting through, which is ultimately what leads her to break
exactly.
her leg and then
she's,
die.
She's
more or less.
Reckless.
Yeah,
you
she's
know?
Reckless.
And that's what the thing, like I have a friend who does skydiving, and he's talked about like there's this period in your skydiving career where you start to feel more comfortable, and then you start taking a lot of chances before you're really ready, and that's when the most dangerous period for you because you're not ready to take that stuff back. And I think that's where she is. She's like really excited to do all these fun things, but she doesn't have the maturity or the adventure or knowledge to handle it.
To
and
not fall down the cave butthole and break her leg.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we have the montage of them walking through caves.
Right.
The Yakety Sack.
Sarah gets stuck. That's sort of the next big thing that happens, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and this is my one of my favorite parts of the movie, too. Yeah, so Sarah, they're going through a super tight hole.
Right. I mean, I do like me a tight hole. I get it. So, like, they're all getting through.
Listeners, I really tried to avoid that, but...
Yeah, you brought it up.
I know, I really did. So they're going through a really tight passageway.
Ooh, I do like me a really tight passageway.
So the cave they're going through is really small.
So sorry, Mom.
Oh my God.
So yeah, anyway, they go through that and Sarah goes last.
She's last, yeah, and she's got the rope bag and then she gets stuck.
She's trying to climb on the rope
bag.
She's
really inexperienced. She gets a little scared.
I don't think she is inexperienced. I think she knows what she's doing. I think she's just about as experienced as Juno, but she's been out of the game for a while because she's been through her trauma.
Yeah, I honestly just think it was a stupid mistake and she freaks out a little bit.
I think so too.
And then,
yeah.
Was it Beth that came back to get her? Yeah,
Beth comes back to get her
and then the thing starts collapsing.
Beth is the good friend.
Yes, yeah. But first, before she says this, because I want to say this is my favorite part of the movie. She says, the worst thing that could happen to you has already happened and you're still here. And I love that part. And anytime, well, not anytime, but lots of times when I've got tough things going on in my life, I remember that part and I say that to myself and it's just so awesome.
I want to point out that Beth is fucking wrong, though, because the worst thing in her life that's about to happen is about to happen.
That's right.
So Beth is a goddamn liar, even though she doesn't mean it is. I'm not saying it shouldn't hold weight for you, that the thing gives you so much power in these situations is a goddamn lie.
Well,
but
the
last time
I said it to myself, I got attacked by a bunch of cave monsters. So,
Well, then you nailed it. You've been through it. That's
exactly.
I'm still here.
Okay. So then the stuff starts to collapse. And that's when she suddenly realizes she's known how to get out of the cave the whole time.
I've known how to leave all the time. Right. So they start scurrying out.
They do.
They get out.
Dude, and she goes really fast backwards.
Yeah. Someone called Beth Big Daddy because she backed that ass up.
I love that
song. Dude, Juvenile reference. Well done.
Thank you. Anyway, so she does. They get out, but the cave collapses, right?
The cave collapses, and then Sarah kind of, this is another one where you're saying she kind of passes out for a minute, and she sees, this is the first time we see her with the birthday cake.
Yeah, we see Jessica, her daughter, with the birthday cake, right.
Or we just see the birthday cake. I'm not sure if we see Jessica.
Oh, I thought Jessica was in every birthday cake scene, but we see it a lot, and I honestly don't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, you might be right. I honestly don't know. But anyway, so she wakes up, and they're arguing over what to do. Older sister is like, I don't remember this from the book. There should be three ways in and out of this place.
Yeah.
And where's the book? And Juno's like, I didn't bring the book. There was no point.
Right.
And this is where we find out that Juno took them to a place that was not the place they said they were going.
Right.
And no one's ever done this cave before.
Or
and they're
so
fucked.
What
happens after they realize Juno screwed them?
Then Sarah starts hearing noises.
Yeah, yeah. This is where Sarah starts to hear, I think, laughter first.
Yeah, she hears. Yeah. She hears the laughter, and then...
Which is the laughter from her dream, right? Like, it's not...
I think so,
I don't think she's actually hearing...
No, see, it goes back and forth, though. It happens throughout the movie, where it goes back and forth between her hallucinations and what's really happening.
Right, like, honestly, it sounds like... What is that? Like, the clickety-clackety
sonar
sounds? Yeah, well, it's the echolocation they're doing, but it sounds like... I don't want to say clam slapping together.
It's like fingernail, fingernails on claw. Like, it's like the sounds of them and their teeth.
It's that sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It
that's
is that
them,
sound.
Like,
that is terrifying. Never do that close to me.
That's them biting against the bones.
What?
That's them biting against the bones. It might actually be the bones clicking when they're walking on them, because they do walk on a lot of
I think
bones.
It's them making that noise so they can hear.
It's them. It's like echolocation.
Yeah, it's them making
it
the echolocation
lots of
noise.
Stuff. Okay?
Well,
these crawlers are gross.
So anyway. Yeah, so
how many
Sarah
times do you cut that out of a podcast? Because I feel like we do that every time.
Well, it hasn't made it into a podcast in quite some time.
Needs to make it on the bingo card.
In fact, you know what? There was a few times you did that in the earlier episodes, and I was listening on the way into work, taking my daughter, and she'd go,
Sky loves me.
Oh, we do need to start having an internal bingo card.
Uncle Todd.
That's
what she calls me.
Sarah hears noises, and they start thinking that she's a little nuts, and maybe we can not say
They're like, take it easy on her.
Yeah,
you know,
she lost so much.
That's right. She lost so much.
And that's
all
when
lost
Juno.
Juno
says, "We all lost someone." Yeah, and I don't think this is the first time like she's come close to admitting that she slept with a husband. Because I think Beth kind of.
Beth is the only one who knows what.
Yeah.
Does Beth actually know, or
Beth
did she just
suspects.
Have suspicion? Okay, so because we see her suspect something at the very beginning, right?
Yes.
So I just
and
wondered
then she
if,
probably suspects. Sus- She's probably suspiciousness.
That's the word, Chris.
It is.
That's how
yeah.
you say it.
Suspicious. Yeah, that's why she.
Suspicious. Brought to you by Tarp Tarp Brands.
Nice. It's the suspiciousness of the Tarp Tarp line. Yeah, so I think. I don't know what I'm even saying anymore.
Nobody knows.
I know. That's the fun of podcasting. Oh, yeah, I think that's why she thinks that Juno left so quickly, because I think she knows.
Oh, yeah, you mean after the accident?
Right, absolutely. And she didn't stay very long.
Yeah.
I love Beth in this movie, because Beth is really the caretaker for Sarah. She's the one, yeah.
She's the true friend.
She is, yes.
So, I mean, honestly, though, for the next, like, 20 minutes of this movie, it's just them trying to find a way out. The only thing that gets remotely, like, connected to the crawlers is the occasional... what, like, freak out of Sarah's?
Yes.
Yeah, where Sarah, she hears that sound, the echolocation sound. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right?
I think at one point you actually, it's when you said this is like a cheesy 80s Red movie,
and you see
one of the crawlers is in the background. Yeah. Did
what?
You see that?
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that.
It's really, really subtle.
Yeah, okay. And you really only can see the silhouette.
The first time I saw one was when Spikey runs ahead and falls down the sphincter and breaks her leg, mm-hmm.
and then you see... the drooliness, right?
Oh, shit. I guess.
Yeah.
We don't actually. Okay, we sort of see the outline of one there, and that's before that.
Yeah.
Because I remember saying, oh, shit.
What's
or something
that?
Like that.
The
yeah.
first time I would say you actually see
yes,
the creature.
I agree. They're going through the caves, having some fun, thinking Sarah's a little crazy. They realize they're lost. They're doing that thing with the match or the lighter, and that's how they find the cave.
Oh, yeah, looking for the breeze, right?
Yeah. And then they almost fall off a gigantic cliff, and they just manage to save themselves.
I don't know who says it, but one of them drops a rock, and it takes forever for it to land and make the sound.
Like,
and then one of them goes... well, thanks for telling us how far down it is or whatever.
Right.
You're like,
thanks, little sister.
Yeah. Like, so this is when they have to free climb
across.
Okay, so
then big sister goes across with these little hook things.
She's a badass, man. Like, I've done a lot of rock climbing, and that is what she does is very difficult. I realize it's a movie, but it's still a badass thing for her to do.
And here's why I love this movie, because they're all women doing this, and nobody's like, I can't believe we're women and we can do this. Yeah, aren't we awesome? They just do it because they're awesome women.
I feel
women.
Like you were internalizing that the whole time. They're like, look at these women being awesome. I can do that. I'm awesome. Woman.
I was. That's what representation will do when you see someone who looks like you do something awesome.
I guess just being a white guy, like
you just
always
used to see everyone
way.
Doing I mean, all the good stuff.
Todd and I just didn't look at each other and we're like, damn.
Yeah. A girl could do that?
I'll say I could not do what
oh,
you
no,
did.
I couldn't.
And
either.
I've rock climbed for years. I mean, I haven't in quite a few years, but.
That's incredibly difficult.
Yeah, like, I was rock climbing like 3 or 4 days a week for like 2 years, I could not do with it.
Yeah, it's the grip strength.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. It's insanely difficult. And
I mean, Todd's got fantastic grip strength.
What up, ladies? I guess. But yeah, like, so she gets across essentially top roping.
But they do make a little discovery. The ancient Piton in the...
Yeah.
They make a climbing faux pas.
They do.
Because you're not supposed to trust anybody else's rigs, especially when those rigs have been dead for 10 years.
What about Murtaugh? Can you trust someone's Murtaugh?
Let's say that hook is definitely getting too old for this shit.
Nailed it, Jen. So, yeah. Anyway, like, Jen is
Boom.
So fucking proud. Look at her face right now. She's like,
I am.
Yeah.
Where's the Gatorade?
Yeah, I crushed it. She's like running around the room asking for high fives from people.
Woo!
And it's just
hey guys,
me.
Am I funny yet?
Validate me! Anyway, so they do climb across.
We're
they throw another rope and sort of zip line back and forth,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yes.
then the last person, who's Juno has
mm-hmm.
to free climb it because they need all the ropes and she can't zip line across.
Yeah, she got
to
bag it
so
up.
So this is where... this is where she has to free climb back and take the gear down.
Mm-hmm.
And when she gets to the old one that's too old for this shit... it rips out and then she falls and
it rips a hole in little sister's hand because she's holding the rope,
which is a
little sister.
Oh no, my hand.
Exactly. As someone who's done that kind of thing before, when you're wearing leather gloves that you should be when you're holding rope like that, that would never ever happen.
Okay, can
Juno's got
a
lot of muscle mass.
Just a little bit to
think that meant
to kind of counteract that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it was my hand, but I was had like skate shoes on and I was on a boat. Random. Don't worry about it. On the
so
road.
Wait. You were wearing Vans on a boat?
Yep. They were DCs, but who's counting?
Either way, both skate shoes.
So I had my foot on the rope, and the boat was a houseboat, and it drifted out,
mm-hmm.
and I was standing on the rope. My foot stayed stationary. The rope burned a hole completely through the sole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's friction. Yeah.
But that's what the leather's for.
It rubs off your mustache.
The right, Parks and Recreation.
Parks and Recreation. Yeah. Yeah. But it burns a hole in her hand and it's awful. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if that actually happened, it would very, very much hurt.
I have to say, I like the way she works it because we sang the...
No digging.
Yeah, exactly.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Okay. Blackstreet!
Way, oh, way, oh, way, oh, way, oh.
So, Big Sister's hands are burned.
No, Little Sister.
No, Little Sister's hands are burned. She's crying.
Little Sister.
Yeah. Thou shalt hold rope.
Kiefer Sutherland's like trying to bite everybody. Anyway,
I mean, he could have been hanging from that cave.
He could have been.
There were bats earlier.
There were.
Whoa, whoa. Do we ever see Kiefer Sutherland and the cave and Cry Little Sister and Rope Bernie Hands in the same cave?
Rope Bernie Hands, yes.
That joke kind of went
Kiefer
off the rails.
Kiefer Sutherland, no. It's a mixed bag, Jen. It's a mixed bag. Anyway,
it's a mixed rope bag, if you will.
Of which they only have one left. So they venture forth into the cave.
Mm-hmm. Then they keep going. That's when they find the cave paintings. And they light the flares.
Right, they light the flares so they can see, and they see two entrances, or maybe an entrance and an exit or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So they realize that even though we don't have the book, the cave painting provided us enough information.
Right.
I thought this was sort of ridiculous.
What are you talking about? It totally made sense.
It did.
I'm not saying
it
didn't make
sense. Are you
going
to be like Holly and smart shame Beth for knowing this stuff?
Okay, can I
like, we don't want to waste the flare on that shit.
When I saw
this,
then
she saves their lives.
The first place that my mind went to, I was like, wait a minute. So... have these crawlers slowly evolved into these non-seeing things and they were once able to make paintings themselves?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
I think they were, for sure.
That's what I thought, and we hadn't really seen them yet. I was like, oh, these are just evolved cavemen, more or less.
And that was the intention
cave
of the director, too, the writer-director, that they were humans who had evolved and gotten trapped in the cave.
Yeah.
It became perfect cave-killing machine.
But they're not trapped.
I know.
But,
this is what I didn't like about it.
But they're not trapped.
If they can get out of the cave... why don't they get out of the cave?
They get out of the cave to kill moose.
And then bring it back
moose
in the cave.
Maybe they like it in the cave.
But if the... okay, all right.
It's dark and warm, and there's blood bone lakes in there. What's not
next
to like?
Next band name.
Blood bone lakes. But then they keep moving, and I think this is when Spike just starts to run ahead. And this is when Spike gets...
You just know. You just know something's going
to
happen.
Yeah, because, oh, I see daylight. No, you don't, bitch.
Yeah, it's the Phosphorus Borealis.
Phosphorus Borealis.
So it's not a Phosphorus Reality. It's a Phosphorus Mirage.
Nailed it. All right. So then Spikey turns her leg into a spike as she falls down the sphincter hole. Yeah.
And so we see her in like this pit of despair, and she's hanging on, and she's looking at Juno, and Juno's got her hand, and then she just slowly falls down and bonks her leg.
I think I hurt my leg.
Yeah, like,
I mean, if my bone was sticking out of my leg like Spike, I'd be yelling like a woman.
Right.
And she was like, I think I hurt my leg. Like, she was not fine because her bone was sticking out, but she was like...
yeah. And then she, like, had to touch it.
Oh, yeah. And inspect it, and she sees that her bone is sticking out of it.
And then they all come down there, and this is where they start to set her bone, but Sarah goes off.
Yeah, Sarah goes off and explores.
This is the first time, like when I said this is the first time they see them, this is what I was thinking of, because she flashes her flashlight or her headlamp or whatever down like the passageway,
and she sees
and you see really far away, you see a full cave creature guy.
You do, and he, I think, acknowledges or something, or she says, hey, or something, and then
he
looks
over at him, but then skedaddles out of the way.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, we see him for like a good 5 seconds, ten
we
seconds.
We do.
Like, it's so far away, you don't really quite see exactly what it is, but you see it.
We know if Sarah were seeing it, we wouldn't quite know what it is, but we know because we know we're watching a horror movie that there's some fucked up shit down there.
Anyway, while they're setting Spike's leg, she runs back in and is like, hey, I saw there's someone here. There's someone down here.
Yeah.
And if they know how to get in here, they can help us get out. It's going to be great. We can get out.
It's
and
party
like,
time.
You're seeing things. You're insane.
Yeah. You are afraid and your mind saw what it wanted to see. This
you were popping you little Zans.
They sounded like a dolphin. I think you called him Flipper.
You. Oh my God. Zans gonna break you.
But she heard laughter and that's why she's exploring. And so up to this point, she is the only one that has seen anything. And maybe I should say this now because there is a fan theory that none of the crawlers are real and that Sarah just killed everyone because she went crazy when she was down there.
I can see that.
And so I think that's what, and apparently that was, I think the director kind of intended that, but he took out a scene that would confirm that. So it's a little ambiguous. I don't think that's what happens, but I think you can see that because every time she sees one of those things, it's triggered by her hearing laughter and then she goes to investigate and that's when she sees something.
Damn,
but
that would have been awesome.
That would have been, I mean, I think you could still interpret it that way, you know, if you wanted to. There's just
kinda,
not the confirming
kinda
scene.
Like a Babadookin.
Yeah. Oh, love that movie. Yeah. Right? They set her leg in the most disgusting way possible.
I mean, it's got to be done, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then they use the pickaxe or the rock axe, whatever you call it.
What Todd said was, like, she's done, just forsake her.
Oh, yeah. The second Spike fell down the hall, I was like, well, Spike's done. We got to move on with our lives. Like, we
exactly.
Can't.
Yeah. Plus, she's kind of annoying.
She was.
She really had it coming because she is reckless. She's kind of a loose cannon.
She was.
She is the Riggs.
I was about to say that. We're about to see some shit, though. Like, shit's
we
about
are.
To happen.
Okay, because they finally put her leg back together again.
And they set it with the rock axe or whatever you call that.
The pickaxe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So they set it with that. And then she's, honestly, Spike's sort of a badass. And I'm just going to say it. She is stupid and she was reckless. But
yeah, she's
when
tough.
When they set her leg, she's like, all right, let's do this.
Right.
And
right.
she's hobbling on her own, which.
She is.
Dude, if
she
I was
far,
down there, I'd be like, fuck you, you can't leave me.
I know.
Quit scaring me to safety.
I would. Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
I would be losing my fucking mind and just crying in hysteria on
it. But Spike was like, whatever, set it and forget it. Let's go. Oh, she crushes
it. She crockpot to that leg.
Oh, yeah. She's a badass. Whatever,
but I also would never be down in that well. Not well.
No, you would never find me down there.
No, dude. Because that's stupid because you get your legs broke.
If I was down there, though, and that whole thing happened, I would just join the crawling team.
Yeah. You just give up, man.
Yeah.
You're like...
Turn me into
I think,
a crawler.
I mean, honestly,
if that,
that
happened and you got a scratch on your arm, I think you probably would have just given up and joined the crawler team.
I wouldn't even have had to get a scratch. Honestly, that
the
woman.
The second you heard a clicky noise, you're like,
I'd be like, this is my life now.
I'm one with a crawler.
I would have gouged my eyes out, met a crawler wife, and just made little crawler babies.
Right. Just see what happens, you know?
But think about it. Our half-breed babies would probably have the gift of sight, and we could rule the land as kings.
Oh, my gosh. If you could find a way to get
somebody
out of here.
Somebody find me a cave. So where are we?
I don't know. Oh, so then they crawl up to the ledge of bones. So they're in the bone layer.
Oh, and that's when they start using the video camera.
Yes, because they can't
see. Night vision or infrared or whatever it is?
Infrared, yeah.
Because camcorders have infrared.
Yeah, $30 camcorders definitely have infrared.
Okay, so they realize they're standing on a bunch of bones. And then we recorded this and we put it on our social channels too because I recorded Todd's reaction.
It really scared me. And I knew it was coming because they go to the camcorder, right? They go to the camcorder footage. Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about this in Grave Encounters when they have those quick turns.
I hate quick cuts. Turns. So the camera's doing these quick pans. It shows all the women and it like it scans through all of them and then scans back to like the middle of the group. And this time one of the crawlers is right over the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like a shit.
You know what though? It's what's scary about that is the way that that creature is slowly just sitting there. It's like it's just waiting for them
it's
to
like
make a noise.
Leering over
them.
Well,
yeah, because
and it's a foot taller. Granted, the rest of the crawlers aren't that size, but that one.
Maybe seeing it on a rock.
Well,
anyways, he's just leering over her though.
Just quiet.
Because he probably can't see her.
He can't.
He hasn't crept up.
We don't know this
her.
Yet because they haven't said it, but their eyes don't work, which makes sense that they're cave dwellers and have been been down there the whole evolutionary process. But if you look at the in the shot, his ear is towards the camera. Like he's listening in. And that's I think that's even more creepy.
What y'all talking about?
Yeah. What you talking about, women's?
Hey.
So this crawler attacks
and
them.
And so, I think they see him, they scream, and then they all run away.
Too.
Oh, yeah. Todd punched the
ottoman. Scream,
you just went like, and then, I think is what I said. Then I punched the ottoman thing, and my hand still hurts.
Oh.
And,
And so then they all scatter running away, and this is why Spike gets got, because she got a hobble because she got her leg spike, you know.
She just got hyenaed.
Yeah, and so then the crawler, like, bites her neck out, and then this is awesome because Juno tries to fight the crawler off
over her body like it seems like Juno does
they're
not
fighting they're honestly like she's Spike's down
yeah
like,
Spike
done,
is pretty much already dead
and the crawler and Juno fight over the body
yeah that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Juno knew she was like dead but like they were fighting over just her dead body.
Well, and even that, like, if my body dies in a cave, I don't want to just like rot in the cave for people to eat. I want them to sacrifice their own lives.
So much. Yeah, I don't really care so much.
I do.
If I'm dead, you can do whatever you want to my corpse.
Wait, really?
Yeah, 100%.
Anything?
That's why I'm an organ donor. Like, I don't care. Take everything and use it.
I'll donate my... Never mind.
Gross. Sausage!
They do. Okay, we gotta talk about that.
Yeah, why do they yell sausage right before they take the photo?
Is that really what they yell?
That's what it sounded like. Now, I may be projecting my male fantasy on that photo, but still, I'm pretty sure they yell sausage.
It doesn't seem like the kind of thing that a bunch of British women on holiday would
yell. I know,
yell.
A bunch of Billy badass women.
Yeah, are, sausage!
Like the only, maybe they...
Maybe were, they had sausage for breakfast and it was
maybe,
really good.
Maybe.
Or maybe they said something like...
Because I always yell out my breakfast food.
I do. Waffles!
Hollandaise sauce!
Just hollandaise sauce?
Dude, you're I would disgusting. Drink that thing out of a can. That shit is so good.
Put some butter in milk. That's basically hollandaise.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so then Juno is fighting with Crawler Man. I think Crawler Man has already killed Holly. This is when Sarah gets separated. And then a second crawler jumps on Juno, and that's when she lets go of Holly's body and just has to fight this crawler guy off. And then she kills the crawler. I can't remember exactly how.
She kills it with the pickaxe.
With the pickaxe, yeah. And then she picks it back up. She hears another crawler behind her and it goes, junk!
Right into Beth's throat.
Yep, it's Beth. All along, yeah. Which Todd said, I mean, you don't sneak up on somebody with a pickaxe who's like battle ready.
I'm not saying it's Beth's fault because it was dark in there.
But it was an accident. I don't think Juno intended to kill
Beth.
No,
there's no way.
You didn't intend to do
sleep with husband.
Oh, no, she intended that.
I don't know. Maybe she just fell.
She just fell on his dick.
Right.
That's what it was.
She'd have anyone, you know?
No, but no, she swings and more or less kills Beth, although she's not really dead. We'll get to that in a second.
She
but
picks her to the throat.
Yeah, picks her to the throat. And I don't know, you just don't, if Chris had just killed someone with like a pickaxe, I wouldn't run up to him. I'd be like, from a distance,
say,
hey, you all right?
You okay? You need any help down
need
there?
Help? You got this, right?
Yeah, yeah. Don't pickaxe me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's Beth's fault, but she could have chose a better option there.
She could have. Yeah, don't creep up behind.
But anyway, don't think Juno meant to do
that.
Oh,
no, I don't think she did at all. And that's part of the reason I don't think Juno is really an evil character. I like this movie because she's a well-rounded person. And I was listening to Faculty of Horror, and they were talking about how she just has bad luck and doesn't make the best choices. I think what this movie does is force everybody to confront their shit. You know? And I
absolutely.
Think they both have to. And I think as they go through, I think the trajectory of Juno is realizing how shitty she has been.
Yes.
And for Sarah, it's kind of reclaiming
who she was.
Yeah. It's confronting who Juno was, which takes her down, and Sarah realizing who she can be. And kind of
the
facing
strength she
reality.
Actually has.
Exactly. Yeah. But Juno is a badass and she kills.
Yeah. And she looks like a badass in this scene because she's like Krav Maga'd these crawlers to death.
She is.
And then
she
kills her friend, or quote unquote, she thinks she kills her friend.
And she leaves her.
So I have a question. Yeah. I have a question about that. So when Beth, spoiler alert, Beth comes back later and we'll get to that scene, but how does Beth get the leaf? With
Beth gets pickaxe to the throat, tries to grab the thing, pulls out the feather. She got it in her hand.
She tries to grab Juno.
She does. Yeah,
and then grabs the necklace.
Yes.
Yeah.
The pendant thingy that's been on the pickaxe for 10 years.
Yes. Yeah.
And then just leaves Beth for dead. I think she assumes Beth's dead. She does what Todd would do to anyone down in the cave who gets a flesh wound.
Yeah.
Just forsakes them.
If you trip, I'm leaving you for dead.
Right. You better keep up.
Yeah, you better not, you better not stumble.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, this is like shit is popping off. Everyone's running in their own directions.
Yeah, this is where everyone gets split up.
Yeah. Beth is dead, quote unquote, but Spike is actually dead. And then Sarah goes down to the feeding pit.
Yeah, she
does. And I think we follow her.
She sees her daughter and she follows her daughter.
Yes.
And they go to the feeding pit. Yes. We see them through the camcorder. All the creepy crawlies just have a feeding frenzy on Spike.
Yes.
It's gross.
And there's a few times where they almost pick up on Sarah being there, and you start to start to realize that maybe these
they can't see
anything.
Yeah.
Because the crawler gets right in the face of the camera and we get to see like his whole head, and that's when Todd started dry heaving.
Yeah, cuz it's real gross. But so does she, doesn't she?
Yeah, she actually, and then that's when you
start. She silently dry heaves.
We realize that their eyes don't work, they have to echolocate. But I'm pretty sure Sarah dry heaves a little bit while the creature's like right on her, and then he
Someone
hears
screams.
The other pack of
the
women
sisters,
who have run a different way. So the sisters. Okay.
Yeah, and so they're huddled in one of the narrow passages, right. And then he crawls over the sisters, yes. And that's when they realize they can't see.
Oh, that's a really cool scene, though, where mm-hmm. the sisters are laying, they're pretty much cuddled up together, and mm-hmm. one of the crawlers comes up next to them. It gets so close, it screams.
Yeah, it's basically right on top
yeah.
of them.
Oh, yeah, and then it goes over them, and then one of their watches start going off.
Yeah, what'd you say? Thanks, boyfriend.
Well, yeah, because her boyfriend gave that to her.
Yeah.
So then she throws the watch, and then the creepy caller comes back, but goes to the watch.
Yeah, and that's when Juno hears the watch and starts yelling for him, and they make the choice to ignore Juno and not tell him where they are, yeah. which is a smart choice. Then Sarah MacGyvers and makes a torch out of Spike's body. Which is cool.
Out of her body? What does she use to like?
She's getting all kind of shit off
so,
of Sarah's
so she
corpse.
Rips some of the clothes off of
Spike.
Spike. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And part of the stuff they used for the splint too, I think. Right?
Yeah. Bandage.
Yeah. And then, it
and
makes
then
a torch.
She finds like an old lantern.
No, she carabiner lights a fire. She clicks the two carabiners together.
But I think
together.
She uses that
she
torch
shakes,
oil.
That torch
oh,
oil.
The
yeah. pours it on the
lights
the
fire.
Bandage thing. Yeah,
on the torch,
and that's what creates the torch.
The ignition yeah. point. Yeah, and then we start to see Juno start to hunt these things. She sees them, and she starts. She gets that mad Juno look in her eye.
She does.
And
she starts. She sort of looks badass. Like
she
no joke,
is badass.
She, yeah.
After killing the first creepy crawly, that's when she's like, "Fuck this, man."
And they're also a little, they have a little bit of an advantage against the creepy crawlies.
They do, because they can, the advantage of sight.
Right. So there's a lot more creepy crawlies than there are. So, I mean, mm-hmm. they are outnumbered by far.
Yeah.
But they can see, they're probably a little bit smarter, mm-hmm. if not a lot smarter. But
they
yeah.
have women's intuition.
Or, I mean, they just have the, you know, women's kind
of. The power of evolution.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So the sisters are walking through the cave, and a creepy crawly comes up behind them.
That's right,
when we see Juno.
That's
and
right.
I think this is the one that Juno's been hunting. And then we start to see her come around and just like smash him to the head.
Right in the spine. I think he's right in the spine.
Right. And that's when they.
It's spinal.
That's when they look down and they try to decide what it is, and they talk about it.
Yeah, and that because one of them is about to be a doctor. I think it's younger sister's about to be a doctor.
Yeah, little yes. sister kind of gives an overview of the. Creepy crawlies advantages and
right
yeah.
and that it is human which right. it is yeah
and that they can't see but this is when they confirm the stuff that we've already sort of guessed
yes and yeah. I think we have forgotten to mention that they've been finding an old-timey miner's helmet and some like an arrow drawn or something like that
yes
that the people before had marked their way out of the cave and Juno found it so now they have a legit way to get out if
yeah
they
have a
survive.
Path to take at least
right so that's their plan
but now Juno and the two sisters are together
right
and so it's Juno and the two sisters in a pack and then Sarah by herself
yes
in
well,
the feeding pit
well.
Not for long because Sarah finds
right
Beth.
And this is where Sarah finds Beth mm-hmm. who's been throated but
yeah.
can still talk through the power of cave magic sorry this is where okay. Beth tells Sarah that Juno was having sex with her husband
yeah
and then
don't trust her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that she killed her, more or less.
Yeah, and gives her the little feather charm.
Yeah,
and that's
to prove
how she
that,
her.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and well, then, she doesn't really even say that.
Yeah, she doesn't, because I don't think Beth really knows, but what Beth does know is that you had this charm, and I'm assuming that.
They make that connection. That,
yeah,
that
because
Sarah,
he said that all the time.
Yeah, love each day. Mm-hmm. Sarah says that when they're in the cabin, then they find it on the back of that pendant that was given to Juno.
Yeah, the little yeah. eagle feather.
And
yeah.
then mm-hmm. then you see Sarah's complete transformation.
Yeah, she starts to see. She
well,
starts to
after,
realize.
Yeah, it yeah. really
wait,
is.
Wait, but then it gets so much worse.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to say. So you don't see her transformation just yet. But yeah. Beth asks Sarah to kill her.
Yes.
And
she
Sarah obliges. Yeah.
Well, she doesn't want to at first. She says, I can't. And then they hear the creepy crawlies start yeah. to come.
And I do think this is like an act of very violent kindness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I agree.
She
smashes her head with a rock.
I'd rather have Chris smash my head with a rock to death than be eaten from stomach out. You
exactly.
know? So,
yeah.
Which
I
is
I would do that for you.
I appreciate that. Which is what she does. I mean, she crushes her skull and then moves on, more or less, with her torch.
Yeah. Oh, no, but after she does that, she gets attacked by a
little
baby crawler.
Baby crawler.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kicks the fuck. She
does. She
stomps
him on the head.
And then Mama Crawler not happy.
Oh, yeah.
Mama Crawler not happy.
Honestly,
but
Mama Crawler got that body,
mode,
though.
And she's just killed her best friend and realized that her husband was cheating on her. So all of these things she yeah. thought were not real. So she's like, fuck it. I'm going to kill all these crawlers. And it's awesome. And this is where you start to see
I don't
her
think you see her go transform until she's out of what's about to happen.
I think this is the beginning of it.
That scene is fantastic, though, where she fights Mama Crawler.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's what I'm talking about. Because yeah. when she gets out of that, so they fall into like a blood lake.
Yeah.
I don't think you know what a lake is. Lakes are huge.
A blood puddle.
Yeah, blood puddle.
Yeah.
Great band name.
Yeah. Yeah. They fall in this blood puddle, right? Mm-hmm. And then as she's crawling out, Mother attacks her.
Yes.
And they're fighting over this rock on the way out. And then she stabs her with like a bone, it looked
yeah,
like.
Yeah. It's like some kind of horn or something.
Yeah, an antler.
It wasn't an antler. Okay, okay, okay. That,
she
that
Kiefer
makes sense.
Sutherland's him to the eye.
Yeah.
She, yeah.
Mama never saw it coming.
Not only is she blind already,
but now she only got one eye.
Well, yeah, but now she's dead.
Yeah, that's true. And this part is cool because Sarah just freezes on a rock as Daddy Crawler.
Yeah, well, or a male crawler. We don't know if it's,
stands,
but you're right.
Yeah, I imagine the familial bonds are not very firm.
Yeah. This evolutionary tree is not forking, is all I'm saying.
Oh, no. I think that's what happened.
Yeah. So this is like when the male crawler comes up.
Yeah,
and
she's frozen
freezes.
On the rock, covered with this blood, and it's a lot like Carrie. She's been baptized in blood when she comes out of it.
Yeah,
because she's
totally.
Underneath the blood lake, and then you see a bubble, and then you see her just raise up covered, and I do think this is when the fundamental change happens in
her. Yes, I agree.
Symbolism is strong.
It is,
does
and
she kill that
it.
Male crawler?
She does kill the male crawler because he stands on her head and she doesn't panic. She just freezes with the torch right next to her. And then he walks away and I think hears her.
She grabs a bone.
Yeah. And beats the shit out of him.
Oh, that's right. And you see it go through his head.
Smashes him in his head.
One thing I want to mention though, is that like there's a surprising amount of gore in this movie, but you don't notice it.
Right.
I mean, like you do in the moment, but...
Mm-hmm.
I noticed it.
Todd noticed
I think
it.
It's.
I mean, when everybody's covered in blood, I guess you're not noticing it that much. But
I noticed it.
It's because I think when, for me at least, when you're in a cave like this, it's so uncomfortable the whole time that the blood doesn't stand out because I'm still kind of afraid of spiders and just the dirt and the grossness of it, you know? Like, I was grossed out when they crawled through that puddle in the very beginning of the cave.
I love that part.
Oh, because everybody's shirt got wet?
You said it. Your words. But yeah, so she kills Daddy Crawler.
Daddy Crawler.
And then you see her holding the torch in one hand, and I think the pickaxe in the other.
Yeah.
And it just sort of freezes on her, and it looks badass.
Uh huh. And she primal screams.
It is like Tomb Raider. Yeah. Uh-huh. And she does primal scream
it's
there.
Awesome.
And that's when the sisters and Juno hear her.
And they think that she probably died, which is.
I don't think they did because they talked to Juno later and Juno's like, we're not leaving without Sarah. Remember, Juno was like,
oh, that's right. Yes.
Juno's not a complete bad person.
She's not. She is a well-rounded person. And I think she just.
She made some bad choices.
She made some bad choices. She's got some character flaws. But I don't think she has evil intent in anything she does.
No, I just think she coveted her neighbor's husband.
And, led them down a cave to all of their deaths.
Well, yeah, but that's just because she makes bad choices.
Hubris.
Yeah. Which is also the bone in the leg, right?
Okay, so then we see the three girls back together and they see lots of crawlers. So they start running. And that's when they get to the cliff. And it took me a minute to figure out what was going on because little sister starts badassing it across, hanging.
Sort of like they were before.
Yeah.
When older sister.
With no rope.
She doesn't have enough rope to get back.
No, she's got a rope.
No, she's got like a harness rope. She has,
enough rope to get back.
It seemed like she just climbed out there and hung because she thought she might be safe.
Because it's a trap. I think she's trying to lure the crawler away.
I don't think that.
I think that was the plan.
You think she's sacrificing herself?
I think she is. And I think that's why she puts the knife in her mouth and waits for the crawler to come on top of her and then stabs him. That's what I think. I don't know.
If that was her plan, she's really, 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 really,
kind-hearted
really
and protective
stupid.
Of her sister.
No, that's a really
dumb plan. I thought it was
all
panic. I thought it was
me
all
too.
Panic.
It might have been.
I thought it was 1,000% panic. She climbs out there freaking out.
Yeah.
And then she pulls the knife out, which is a smart move, but... doesn't use it.
Yeah.
She
and
puts
then,
it in her mouth, and then it's only when she gets her throat slit that she does grab onto the creeper
and stab him
in the ribs or something
like
that.
Yeah.
And then he falls down to the water that's below.
And
she just like flops over backwards and
she
gets
does
blood
facing
over.
Her sister spewing her neck blood out. Yeah. It really makes me sad.
Because she's a thoughtful
Protective sister.
Hey. But then Crawler comes out from behind,
grabs sister
and just eats her stomach.
Yeah.
Does what they did to Spike, only Big Sister is still alive.
Yeah.
And that's awful.
And then,
oh, yeah.
Oh, Juno jumps off the cliff into the water.
Because Juno ain't no dummy.
Yeah.
But now the only two people who are left alive are Juno and Sarah.
Yeah, and so she jumps into the river and then sees underwater
the
crawler.
And this is where she sees the dead
underwater
creepy
crawler
guys. But no, he's not dead and starts attacking him.
And she grabs the knife and
twists
it.
And then he does that.
Yeah. And then she starts climbing up the banks and Sarah grabs her and pulls her up. And Sarah's all covered with blood and she's like, what the fuck happened
to you? Sarah looks insane.
Yeah, and
in like a badass way. Not like insane in the
memory. And Juno even says, what happened to you?
Right. Right.
Like, she can tell there is an obvious.
And that's, I think, what you're talking about with the paths crossing, yeah, too. I think Sarah really kind of succumbs to this. Not succumbs, but she really kind of gives herself over to this badass persona that Juno has had all along.
Right. And then Sarah asks about, well, what happened to Beth, knowing full well what happened to Beth.
Oh, right. Yeah, and just to see what she said.
And yeah. Juno does lie about it.
She does.
And you see her, you see her kind of weep.
You saw her die. And she says,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't. If I had stabbed someone through the throat, that would be traumatic for me, seeing my friend that I stabbed through the throat. I think maybe she did think she died.
I think she did, too.
Anyway.
And honestly, I might have left her, too.
I would have. You're under attack from creepy crawlies.
Exactly.
If someone got the sniffles, I'd be like, no, you dead. I'm gotta go.
She's not going to make much noise.
No.
Oh.
The vocal cords.
And then I think if you look at Sarah, you see her make a decision about what she's going to do next.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly
yeah,
thought she might kill her right there.
Right, right, right. Because then she leads them over, and this part is awesome, when they go into kind of like a little passageway and they see all these crawlers come up, and then they just Rambo the shit out of these crawlers.
I thought this was cool as shit.
Oh, yeah, so it was like, awesome.
It's the two of them, and the shot is really cool. So when Juno lights her flare and like points it towards the camera, and mm-hmm. then the focus shifts and you can see everybody, it's a cool-ass mm-hmm. shot.
It
and
is.
And then it's just the two of them, and I think there's like five crawlers, maybe, yeah. maybe six.
But just waiting.
Oh, yeah. yeah. And they don't even try and, like, run. They're like, mm-hmm. let's fucking do this.
Yes.
And they do. But if you look, Juno gets, like, teamed up on, and mm-hmm. Sarah's like, you know, you on your own,
bitch. Way back, because yeah. she knows the other crawlers are coming. I think part of that is battle strategy, and part of it's like, I'm not going to jump in on this.
Yeah.
Because I do think she's also kind of thinking, Juno is my decoy right now, so let's see how this plays out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, but she also does have her own crawlies to deal with.
She does, but yeah. we don't see those that fight really interact that much. They're not like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, like, backing each other up.
No, not yeah. at all.
And then you see the thumbs.
Oh, yeah, oh. when she sticks the thumb. Dude.
Is that Sarah who does that?
Yeah.
That's Sarah.
Okay, yeah,
this
it's real
gross. This is badass. And this is what I say, what I'm talking about when I say representation matters, because when you see somebody who looks like you do all this shit, and they're not making a big deal about it, like, we're women and we can do it, it's just awesome.
No, you were the one yelling that during the movie.
I was. I know. I was like, woo. Yeah, because
it's like,
just
Jen,
really
we
cool.
get it. Sit down.
Yeah.
It's honestly, but it is.
We get it. We see it every day.
Yeah. It's refreshing, though, because none of them are portrayed as remotely helpless.
Exactly. There's them. Never, like, they don't have, I mean, that little meeting where they're like, we can do it, we can do it, but I'm scared, you know?
No, even Spike, when she broke her leg, was like, right. just stitch me up and I'll hobble out of here. Let's do this.
This is just always part of their personality, yeah. and this is just what they do, because that's what men do. They just handle whatever is in their way.
Yeah, we get shit done, Jen.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they kill all of the
creepy crawlies
in that batch
that
of creepy crawlies,
see.
Right?
Yes.
So, well, I don't
kill
think the
first
ones are,
wave.
Right, the first wave. That's a good way of saying mm-hmm. it, because there are more coming, but it's just Sarah and Juno, and Sarah's got her, like, axe up.
Uh-huh.
I think it's because she just killed one of them, but...
Yeah, and they're looking at each other, and then she just opens her hand
and
lets
the feather
drop.
The eagle feather.
Yeah, and I don't
and
know
it,
if
you
they...
hear it go...
Gah!
In the background.
Gah! Yeah.
Anyway, so the feather comes out, and we see that sort of on their faces that Juno knows that Sarah knows.
Yeah.
And Sarah knows that Juno knows that she knows.
And
so
now
Sarah
we both
knows that Juno
knows
that Sarah knows that Juno knows.
Yeah. But so they don't know we know they know
yeah,
we know they know.
Exactly.
We know.
So Juno doesn't know that Sarah knows what Juno knows.
Yeah.
That Sarah's going to kill Juno.
That's
when
a big no no.
Nice.
So that's when Sarah, like,
that's
doesn't kill Juno.
The feather drops.
Significant.
The feather heard around the world
yes.
drops.
And yeah. then Sarah
axes
just
Juno
slices
through
her
the
leg.
Knee.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's rough to watch, too. It's pretty gross.
It is, yeah. But Juno's just still kind of a badass.
Oh, Juno's like, I'm going to go out fighting. And
yeah.
she does.
And
we
she
don't ever see her die, actually.
She rips the axe out of her knee
yeah.
and just kind of hobbles around to, like, get ready for him. And that's when we hear and see, like, 10, 20
it's
lots
a lot.
Of creepy crawlies
yeah, it's
coming
at least
to her.
Like 12.
Yeah.
But you never see
you never
her
see her
die.
Die.
You don't
You're
see
right.
her die.
We hear her yelling, but honestly, mm-hmm. it could be either she's dying
or
killing them.
Battle thrust.
Yeah,
battle
yeah.
size.
And I definitely could see her in a sequel. I wouldn't be surprised if she's
Am
in
I
the
only one
too.
Who's seen the sequel?
Yeah, I haven't seen the sequel.
Okay.
So then Sarah falls over. She gets the vapors and she wakes up and she realizes there's sunlight on her face and she can see. And this part is so cool. She climbs up this giant mountain of bones and we can see the light. Literally, the light at the end. end of the tunnel as she crawls across all of the bones.
Crawling out of death, out of darkness.
Crawling over all of this tragedy and through all of this terrible stuff. And then she busts through and we see that awesome shot where her hands bust through and then her face and she takes a deep breath for the first time.
Very Deliverance, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Very.
This sort of looked like a birth scene to me.
Oh, yeah. Definitely 100%. Think it is. Well, and it's like the baptism scene, and this is her rebirth out into the world.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
So she's sobbing through the woods.
She's 127 hours out of the woods.
Yeah, she is.
Makes it back to the car.
And realizes she forgot her keys. She got to go back into the thing, the cave. Yeah, and that's the sequel. Wanders around looking for her car. Yeah, the sequel, the working title is Bitch, Where's My Car?
Juno, what was his face? 3C.
But no, she drives off into Bronco,
she
right?
She got a fish that dies on the way. That's a Seinfeld joke.
But
everyone.
You said, okay, so at this point where she's driving the Bronco down the road.
I think it's a Jeep.
She pulls off and this truck goes by and then I was convinced that there was going to be a jump scare and then end.
A creepy crawly in the back seat is what you thought. She pulls over to sob for a little
bit. Right? Or something.
Throws up out the window.
Out the window. Yeah.
Think the truck scares her, which honestly, I'd be afraid of trucks if I were her too. And then she turns back and there's dead Juno in the car right next to her.
Right. And then you said something like that was the end for the American
release.
That's
the end of the American version.
Okay.
Yes. That's how the American version ends. And then so what we see, because Todd looked over and said, I thought the movie was over, because we see her wake up in the cave and she doesn't have sunlight on her face. She's still got blood all over her, and she wakes up and
I think this is when we see the birthday cake.
We see the birthday cake. And we actually see her daughter sitting there.
Yeah.
I think this is the first time we've actually seen
we've
her
seen
full
her a
daughter.
Bunch. We've seen her daughter a bunch.
So her daughter is sitting across from the birthday cake. And so Sarah's just sitting there looking at her daughter. And it's like they're having a little birthday
cake. I thought this was really cool because the light from her torch is the birthday cake.
It's the birthday candles. Because then we come back and we see her just looking at nothing.
They do that slow zoom where it's just her.
And we hear the creepy crawlies coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the
UK
version.
And that's the end of the movie.
Version.
So everyone dies in this version.
Yeah. I don't like the UK version.
No,
as
it's
much. Fucking I pretend
stupid.
No one dies.
What? No one dies?
You don't see Juno and you don't see Sarah.
Oh, you just
die.
Imagine that they do. Yeah. But I don't think the sequel could exist with Sarah staying in the cave. I don't think the sequel could happen with the UK ending.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the sequel is based on the American ending.
Yeah,
probably.
When
definitely.
She got out. Yeah,
but that is the movie.
I don't like the UK ending as much. And the reason that they cut it off there is because they thought it was too nihilistic or too sad for American audiences.
But they do that all the time.
I know.
I like that nihilistic ending. I like that.
I like it too, but I like the hopeful one better, you know, and
like,
it's still
like
a sad ending because she still got, like you said, this is now the worst thing that's happened to her.
Yeah,
the trauma that she had before was awful, and now she's got this on top of
that. She was already going to need years of therapy.
Exactly. And that's what I think is cool when she's walking through the wilderness, because we've just seen her become total badass.
Yeah.
And then she's falling apart to the car, because that's what would happen. You can't live in that Rambo stage all the time, you know. You got to get your adrenaline up and you got to get through stuff, but then you have to come back and be a person and deal with all of it,
right?
You know, and I love the American ending because you see her have those emotions and that reaction to it.
But that's the end of the movie. Let's talk box office.
Box office.
Yeah. So what do you guys think this cost to make?
I think I know this because I think I sneaky.
Oh, do you?
It. Yeah.
What would be your guess, Chris?
Okay, so I'm thinking that
it's pretty much a single location movie. We know you guys hate single location movies.
I love single location movies.
I know,
when they're
I'm
caves.
Just making the joke.
No, I love it when you can pull off stuff like this in a set.
Yeah,
that's true.
It honestly was impressive. So the production budget that they say is $7 million. That's not cheap, but it's pretty cheap for a movie, like a movie that looks this good, and it did pretty well domestic and international.
$50 million.
$57 million.
$57 million.
And then in domestic DVD sales, it made another $22 million.
Yeah, and
so
this
it
one,
made a lot of money.
Yeah, and this is a beloved one. I think a lot of people that love horror have this up there in their list.
For sure.
It's in my top five.
It did very well. I hated it, but I understand why people might like it.
Now, interesting fact, it did not do that well in the UK when it came out in 2005, because it came out right around the time of the London bombings. And I don't know very much about the London bombings, but I know that a lot of the marketing showed women trapped underground or someone screaming and using the word terror in it. So
yeah,
I think they had to really change up the marketing, and it kind of dampened it. It's like Idle Hands when Idle Hands came out right after Columbine.
Can we do Jen's fun facts?
Yeah, we're doing Jen fun facts. Okay, one thing I think is really really cool. The lighting, once they go in the cave, all of the lighting they have is the lighting that the women have with them, like their flares and their flashlights and their headlamps. They don't use any camera lighting. But it is like, this movie is so claustrophobic, and I think that's part of why you just can't get a sense of where the cave is going and what it looks like.
Right.
The influences for this movie were, we already said Deliverance. The Thing and Texas Chainsaw Massacre were big influences for this.
Right.
They really delivered that influence.
And I think the blood, maybe referencing some Argento?
Oh, yeah, possibly Argento. I definitely think there's a Carrie nod in there.
I've only seen one Argento film, and it was the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. So I hope...
Todd loved Suspiria.
Suspiria was the worst movie I've ever seen. Like,
in your entire life?
Not even like horror. I'm talking about any movie, including the shitty no-budget movies I was in. It is worse than those.
I don't know if I'll give you that.
It's real
Todd's
bad.
Todd's got some strong feelings about Suspiria.
I cussed out Jen through text
for a
week.
Die Hard with a sponsor?
Yeah, much worse than that.
Worse than Franklin,
Suspiria.
Sweetheart?
And try not to eyeball gouge your eyes until the pus comes out.
Try not to Sarah your face.
Yeah, exactly. It's so bad. Whatever. What are the fun facts you got, Jen?
Some more fun facts. So none of these are real caves. We've already talked about this a little bit. They built 21 cave sets, and I think they look
21?
Really cool.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
They did. Yeah. They look really great. Like, I never see these caves and think, that's not a real cave.
Me either.
I'm not going to lie. Had I not read that, or I would have completely, well, up until recently, I thought that, this was definitely filmed in a cave.
Yeah, that's a real cave. Yeah, I saw a featurette a long time ago about this, and I kind of saw them, like, all standing around the caves. I think it's the part where Sarah gets stuck, and the cameraman is just standing on the end of it, and it's really cool. Oh, all the crawler actors had to shave all of their body hair, and they had to be in the makeup chair for 3.5 hours.
Ugh.
And they hired actual actors. They didn't hire any stunt doubles for it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you guys are going to like this. The nightstick or the light sticks that they use, the flares, they bought those in an adult film store. So I think they are some kind of sex play props.
Wait. The flares or like the light sticks?
The light
like the
sticks
neon light
that they
sticks.
Use.
The green light sticks.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
That is a fun fact. A little too fun.
If you know what I mean.
Blanky, blanky.
I got a crawler body count for us too.
Oh, yeah?
9. Including the kid crawler.
Kids are people, Jen.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 9 crawlers.
Are those all your fun facts?
Those are all my fun facts.
I saw you close your book that you're almost to the end of.
I know, and part of it came apart.
It's because you use it too much.
Speaking of, we are running out of room on my scary scale. Yeah. It might be time for a new book. All right, I'm going to...
You know where you can buy a new book, Jen? If you go to the website, horrorvirgin.com, and click on the store link, you can buy some awesome merch. Some of them are notebooks. Check them out.
Hey, and then go over to the blog because it's awesome. If you want to hear me talk more about Stephen King and more about feminism, go to that blog.
Yeah. All right. So let's scary scale this. What is the scary scale, Jen?
The scary scale is a scale we use to rank how scared we were when we watched these movies today. It's not a ranking of how good we thought the movie was. It is a ranking of how scared we were, not the first time we watched it, but when we're watching it today. Our example of a 1 movie is Ghostbusters, and our example of a 10 is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yay! I don't know why I celebrated the end of that, but I just love the scary scale, man. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah.
Todd, what you got?
7.
7.
I'd give it a 7. It was pretty scary. There were a few jump scares that really got me, and it was just an overall general creepiness. But I've seen scarier movies for sure.
Yeah, it's the claustrophobic thing for me.
Oh, man. It was,
Chris?
So I've seen this movie close, if not over, 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
So as of today, I would give it a 5. But with that said, it's still it's like my second favorite horror movie, probably top 5 all-time favorite movies.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, wow. Okay.
And this was on my scariest horror movie for a while.
Yeah,
I had this up
definitely.
At the top. Yeah. And I saw it in the theater too. Like it is, I think it's got jump scares, but it's got consistent grossness. I think it
does
is
have
very
that
scary.
For sure.
In the theater, if you're like in the front 3 rows, because I saw it in the theater as well,
mm-hmm.
like row 3. I mean,
you're getting blood.
Oh,
on
I didn't
you.
Sleep that night at all.
Mm-hmm.
Lights on.
I remember being very affected. And I think there's enough of an emotional attachment to these characters, too, that makes the scares more powerful because you do care more about what happens to them.
Absolutely.
And they get fucked up. Man.
Yeah.
There are some really hard deaths in this movie. I think I'm going to give it a 7, too. Part of what gets me is that revulsion factor. I just feel so uncomfortable because caves are terrifying in general. So the second they go down into that cave, I'm already at like a baseline 3, even though nothing has happened because there are spiders there. I don't know what's behind that cave. You know, it's just gross. So it gets me on that level. And then I think it is consistently scary once the crawlers show up. Yeah, 7. That's our scary scale.
Cool.
A muggy, muggity mug. It's mug time, everybody.
So, guys, if you leave us a text review for the podcast, give us 5 stars, leave us a text review. It captures your name. We put your name in a mug. We draw your name out the mug. And
then
you
get that
a mug. Yeah.
And thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for all the awesome reviews.
Honestly, we've added a lot of listeners recently.
And we have.
Really, really awesome.
Yeah, we love you guys.
The Jen is going to pull a name out of the mug, and this person is going to get a mug. What's the name, Jen?
MNJF23.
Nice. MNJF23.
Manajifa 23.
That sounds legit. You have 30 days from this airing to claim your mug.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your name will expire. Hey, congratulations, Manajifa 23. I've only ever read that name, so I hope I'm saying it the right way. Yeah. Thank you for your kind review. And if you did not win the mug, do we already say this? We're going to leave your name in the mug.
Yes.
So you could win the next mug.
You could still win a mug. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we doing next week, Jen?
So the next movie we're going to do, we're going to kick off December with Jack Frost, not the Michael Keaton movie where he learns how to love his child.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah. Well, that's where Michael Keaton is like a horrible musician father and then dies. His keyboard player starts banging his ex-wife. So he has to come in and be a dad to his son. Yeah.
He has to learn how to be a dad.
Eric Clapton, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is not the the Michael Keaton one. This is the one where the snowman Jack Frost kills people with his carrot nose, I think.
Right.
I don't know. Although both sound like entertaining movies.
Sure.
We'll see. Yeah, so we're doing Jack Frost.
Chris, do you want to let them know where they can find you online?
Yeah, sure. You can find me online at Chris James GTR on the Instagrams, on the Twitters, and whatnots.
Facebooks?
I don't Facebook.
No, because no. I Facebooked face in the face. I don't know. I'm tired.
That is Jen Ferratu on Instagram and
Twitter.
If you
want more humor like that, check out.
I am at Todd J. Awesome on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are, of course, at Horror Virgin. If you want to find us on any of those three platforms, please do.
Check
please
out the website.
Us.
It's great.
Yeah, check out the website at horrorvirgin.com.
It's a beautiful website.
Yeah, Chris built it.
Guys, also, we're a member of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network. They've got a lot of great podcasts. Check them out.
Final Girls, Death, Dying, and Other Things. And, of course, Luke and Jacob on the Modern Horrors Podcast.
And if you're listening to us in that feed, make sure you click on the link to subscribe to our feed so you get ours on Monday when they come out, and not Wednesday when they come out. In that feed, you can get it 2 days earlier out of our feed. So come over and listen to it on our feed.
And I also want to say, if you have seen this movie and you want to tweet us what you would put it on the scary scale,
people started saying
we had our very first listener submission to the scary scale. Eva V. It is Eva V, right?
I think so, yeah.
Eva V. She, Scary Scale Grave Encounters, and rated it significantly lower than we did.
I felt very shamed when she rated it.
She tried to get a negative onto the scale. I would not allow it.
I think
but
she
I did give her a zero.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, she did. I gave her a zero because she was our very first listener to scary scale.
Chris, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah,
we appreciate
thanks.
You coming on and guesting again.
It's always a pleasure
it was
to
a lot
guest
of fun.
On you.
Gross.
Just guessed it all over the place.
But that's going to be it for us here at the Horror Virgin.
Yeah. I'm Jen.
I'm Todd. Have a good week, guys. Bye.